Happy Monday, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. Today is January 11th, 2021, and welcome to today's Sports History, a podcast that will make you the most interesting person in water cooler, guaranteed. And without any further ado, let's get started. Today, in 1893, Jap Eden skates a record 2 minutes and 35 seconds in the 1500 meter. In 1915, Jack Rupert and Colonel Tillinghouse Huston purchased the New York Yankees for $460,000. Rupert pays his portion in cash. In 1946, Burt Bell becomes the second NFL commissioner and moves the league headquarters from Chicago to Philadelphia. In 1953, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover declines a six-figure offer to become the president of International Boxing Club. In 1960, Lamar Clark sets a pro boxing record of 44 consecutive knockouts. In 1967, San Diego is granted an NBA franchise to be called the Rockets. The franchise moves to Houston for the 1971-72 season. In 1973, the American League adopts the designated hitter rule. In 1976, Dorothy Hamill wins her third consecutive national figure skating title. In 1977, the Cubs trade outfielder Rick Monday to the Dodgers for Bill Buckner. In 1983, Bill Martin named the New York Yankees manager for the third time. Over in the NHL, we had two major events happening. LA Kings center Marcel Dion picks up his 24th NHL career hat trick and adds three assists for 6 points in a 9-7 win at Washington, the Kings' first road win after 8 straight losses. And again in the NHL, Edmonton Pat Hughes sets an NHL record for the fastest 2 shorthanded goals by one player at just 25 seconds apart in a 7-5 win at St. Louis. He's the first player to break one of Wayne Gretzky's records. In 1984, Denver Nuggets score 163 points, and the San Antonio Spurs score 155 points, making it the highest scoring NBA game. In 1988, the USSR announces it will participate in the Seoul Summer Olympics. In 1989, Denver Nuggets rookie Jerome Lane misses 7 free throws in a game against Milwaukee, one missed by 2 feet. In 1990, Bobby Knight becomes the Big Ten's winningest basketball coach with 229 wins. Also in 1990, Pat LaFontaine sets a New York Islanders record of scoring goals in 11 straight games. In 1991, Ben Johnson participates in his first race after being stripped of his 1988 Olympic gold medal for steroid use. He finishes second place. In 1992, U.S. Female Figure Skater Championship is won by Christy Yamaguchi. In 1995, the Birmingham Barracudas, based in Alabama, are granted CFL franchise. The experiment only lasts one season. In 1995, the NHL Players Association and owners agreed to end the NHL strike. In 1998, U.S. Male Figure Skating Championships are won by Todd Eldridge. In 1999, Marty Schottenheimer resigns as head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. In 2001, the New York Knicks hold an opponent under 100 points for an NBA record 29th straight game in a 76-75 loss to the Houston Rockets. The streak snaps the 46-year-old NBA record of 28 straight games set by the Fort Wayne Pistons in 1954-55 season. In 2003, Washington right winger Jaromir Jagr scores his 10th career hat trick and adds 4 assists for 7 points and his 1,200th NHL point in a 12-2 win against Florida. Jagr has 20-plus goals in each of his 13 NHL seasons. In 2004, the 4th and 26th, trailing Green Bay Packers by 3 points in the NFC Divisional Playoff game, the Philadelphia Eagles face 4th and 26th on their final drive. Donovan McNabb hits Freddie Mitchell for 29 yards. The Eagles go on to tie the game, forcing overtime and winning overtime. In 2004, Washington Capitals German goaltender Olaf Kulzig records his 32nd NHL shutout in a 1-0 win against the visiting Edmonton Oilers. And in 2016, Barcelona forward Lionel Messi wins his record 5th award. And that does it for our timeline. We'll be right back with our deep dive segment. Thanks for sticking around, and welcome to our deep dive segment. Today we look at that argument you can hear in any sports bar during the summer. That debate about the designated hitter. Let's take a look at the history of the DH position. The rationale for the designated hitter rule arose surprisingly early in the history of professional baseball. It was observed that, with few exceptions, most notably Babe Ruth, who began his career as a pitcher with the Boston Red Sox, pitchers were usually selected for the quality of their pitching, not their hitting, and that most pitchers were weak hitters who had to be batted ninth in the batting order and pitch hit for late in games when their teams were trailing. The designated hitter idea was raised by Philadelphia Athletics manager Connie Mack in 1906, though he was not the first to propose it. The rumors were that he grew weary of watching Eddie Plank and Charles Bender flail at the pitches when at bat. Mack's proposal received little support and was even lambasted by the press as, quote, wrongly theoretically, quote. The notion did not die. In the late 1920s, National League president John Heidler made a number of attempts to introduce a 10th man designated hitter as a way to speed up the game and almost convinced National League's club to agree to try it during the spring training in 1929. However, momentum to implement the DH did not pick up until the pitching dominance of the late 1960s. In 1968, Denny McClain won 31 games, and Bob Gibson had a 1.12 ERA, while Kyle Yastrzemski led the American League in hitting with only a 301 average. After the season, the rules were changed to reduce the mound height from 15 inches to 10 inches and lower the upper limit of the strike zone from the top of the batter's shoulders to his armpits. In addition, in the spring of 1969, spring training, both the American League and National League agreed to try the designated pitch hitter, DPH, but they did not agree on the implementation. Most NL teams chose not to participate. However, a 4-year trial in which the International League and 4 other minor leagues started using the DH for their games began that year. Like other experimental baseball rule changes of the 1960s and 70s, the DH was embraced by the Oakland A's owner Charlie O. Finley. On January 11, 1973, Finley and the other American League owners voted 8-4 to approve the designated hitter for a 3-year trial run. 3 months later, on April 6, Ron Bloomberg of the New York Yankees became the first designated hitter in MLB history, facing Boston Red Sox right-hander Louis Tant in his first plate appearance. Boomer Bloomberg was walked on 5 pitches with the bases loaded in the first inning. As expected, the American League posted a higher batting average than the National League in 1973, which was continued every season since. In response to increases in American League attendance because of the designated hitter, the National League held a yes-no vote on August 13, 1980 to determine whether or not the league would adapt the designated hitter. A majority of the 12-member teams was necessary to pass the rule, and the measure was expected to pass. However, when the teams were informed that the rule would not come into effect until 1982 season, Philadelphia Phillies Vice President Bill Giles was unsure of how the team owner, Rulli Carpenter, wanted him to vote. Unable to contact Carpenter, who was on a fishing trip, Giles was forced to abstain from voting. Prior to the meeting, Harding Peterson, general manager for the Pittsburgh Pirates, was told to side with the Phillies however they voted. The final tally was 4 teams voting for the DH, the Atlanta Braves, New York Mets, St. Louis Cardinals, and San Diego Padres, 5 votes against the Chicago Cubs, Cincinnati Reds, Los Angeles Dodgers, Montreal Expos, San Francisco Giants, and 3 abstentions, Philadelphia Phillies, Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Houston Astros. 5 days after the meeting, the Cardinals fired their general manager, John Claiborne, who was the leading proponent for the adaptation of the DH, and the National League has not held another vote on the issue. As time passed, the designated hitter rule has enabled American League managers to consider multiple strategic options in setting their team's lineups. They can rotate the DH role among part-time players, for example, using a left-handed batter against a right-handed pitcher and vice versa, or they can employ a full-time designated hitter against all pitchers. It also allows them to give a healthy, everyday player a particular day off, or to give an injured player the opportunity to bat without exposing him to re-injury while playing in the field. In recent years, full-time DHs have become less common, and the position has been used to give players a partial off day, allowing them to bat but rest while the other team is doing the batting. This option comes in very handy when a team's lineup includes several older players. The 2012 Yankees, for example, rotated 5 players through the DH spot during the season, all of them over the age of 34. Only a handful of players have compiled over 400 at-bats as a DH each year. When the Houston Astros moved to the American League in 2013, both leagues had 15 teams each. This required interleague play season round, as well as the Houston Astros' use of the DH full-time. There's a debate within the MLB to unify the rules of the two leagues, with either the American League returning to its pre-1973 rules and having the pitcher hit, like the National League, or the NHL adopting the DH. In January 2016, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred indicated that consideration was given to the National League adopting the DH for the 2017 season when a new collective bargaining agreement would take effect. However, he later backtracked on that statement to say that he does not see unification coming anytime soon. Accordingly, the DH rule was not adopted by National League for 2017. Since then, the MLB is now considering adding the DH to the National League as soon as 2022. In 2020, the National League used the DH for the first time in its history due to the impact of COVID-19 pandemic. At least one of the proposals released during the negotiations between the MLB and Major League Baseball Players Association to attempt to reach an agreement regarding the season structure included a universal DH for 2021 as well. But the lack of such an agreement means the rule currently applied for only the 2020 season. We want to thank you for joining us in this episode and hope to have you back for many more. Please don't forget to subscribe to us however you're listening and follow and like us on all social media. Our handle is @SportHistoryPod. Again, that's @SportHistoryPod. Thank you to Jason Shaw of Audionautics for the introduction music and Laura Robin, our script editor and director. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.